Now, the Liberal Party has woken up again to what it hopes is a new dawn. The short-lived tenure of its first female leader, Susan Lee, can now be spoken of in the past tense.
I am humbled, I am honoured, and I am up for the job.
Susan Lee has become Australia's first female opposition leader. It's a historic moment for the party, which faces the daunting prospect of rebuilding after that thumping election loss.
She's never been in a strong position as leader, having won with a very thin majority.
I can't pretend things are good. Do you think Susan is losing support?
Can she survive as leader until the end of the year?
The coalition is in tatters, with the Nationals announcing another divorce from the Liberal Party.
It's not good at all for Susan Lee. This is the second time.
Susan Lee is hanging on to her job, but only just.
Angus Taylor's gone to say to Susan Lee, it's on, I want your job.
The Liberal Party is at the worst position it has been since 1944 when the party was formed.
I will be tendering my resignation to the Speaker. I'm not sure what comes next for me. I look forward to stepping away completely and comprehensively from public life.
Yes, it's out with Susan Lee and in with Angus Taylor, the party's eighth leader since the defeat of John Howard in 2007. Let's talk to Fiona Scott, the Federal Liberal Party Vice President and former member for Lindsay, one of the great bellwether seats in Australian politics in the outer fringes of the western suburbs of Sydney. Fiona Scott, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
You could hear the pain in Susan Lee's voice there. Maybe the relief too. She was in charge for just 276 days. Only Alexander Downer has had a shorter tenure. What's your sense? It doesn't feel like a good look for the party to get rid of your first female leader after such a short period of time.
I think there's probably a lot of things over the last couple of years that we could make that comment at. But, you know, I think it's into more the soul searching that the Liberal Party needs to do after having two fairly sizable stints in government, the Howard era and, of course, the Abbott, Turnbull, Morrison era. And, you know, the party really has to find itself again and how our values of, you know, the inalienable rights of people to have a home, for people to enjoy their families, to have the freedom of their own religion, our liberal values, our conservative economic values, and really get them into a means that is meaningful to people in 2026. And that's the process. And unfortunately, you know, in this case, good people like Susan have been hurt in the process and have tried their hardest. But it's also a matter of finding our way and how we can reconnect with the Australian public. Yeah. And that's really what this has been about.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a moment. I just want to get a sense of where Susan Lee went wrong. I mean, people talk about women who break through the glass ceiling, finding themselves on a glass cliff in a position where they've really been sort of set up to fail. I mean, this almost seems like a sort of classic case study of that phenomenon. What went wrong?
I don't necessarily see that through a gendered lens. I appreciate that the media will make all sorts of analogies and assumptions over the coming days and weeks, but we have come off the back of two pretty catastrophic election results that, in Angus Taylor's words yesterday, it's now or die. And because of those things, you know, coming in as the opposition leader when we've had such bad election results and lost so many seats in so many parts of the country, we've lost our, you know, seats that we'd held since the Liberal Party was formed in the North Shore and eastern suburbs of Sydney and inner city places of Adelaide and Brisbane and Perth. For the Liberal Party to find itself from that is going to be a monumental task, no matter who is the leader. So that's not a, you know, that's not a gendered thing. And even after the Howard era, it was equally as difficult for somebody like Dr. Brendan Nelson.
Yeah, I was struck by the rhetoric ahead of the leadership spill. Senior figures within the party saying this is a change or die moment, really framing it in that kind of existential way. I mean, you face a bit of an electoral nightmare as a party right now. You've got the challenge on the right from One Nation. You've got the challenge on the moderate side in those very seats that you were talking about from the Teals. I mean, how do you square that circle?
Well, I don't think you square that circle, and I actually really liked what Jane Hume said yesterday. It's not about trying to lunge to the right or to the left. It's about lunging forward. I've never thought of politics in a linear fashion of you go to the right, you go to the left, because if you keep travelling to the left, you end up at a point of the right, and if you keep travelling to the left, to the right, you end up at a point on the left. It kind of ends up swapping over in and often that bottom part of the circle is the most dangerous of all. In many ways, the change or die is correct, but I actually believe the answer for the Liberal Party is in the DNA that formed the Liberal Party in the first place. When Robert Menzies formed the Liberal Party back in 1944, he actually pulled together 8 different parties, and, you know, some of it included the suffragette movement. I mean, Damien Lyons was the first female member of Parliament. She was a member of the Liberal Party. She was the first woman in Cabinet. She was also the wife of a former Labor Prime Minister. So what we have to look at is that is the that is the heritage of the party, of being able to actually bring those wide pieces together. But then, you know, every pre-selection and so many Liberal Party meetings I've gone, you know, we like to quote Menzies ad nauseum, and, you know, that's, you know, but there are some really important things that he said in his Forgotten People speech where he talks about the home spiritual. And Angus Taylor has already picked up on those things. In fact, Angus has been, you know, unrelenting. His first portfolio in the Turnbull government was around cities and housing, and he has done phenomenal work and dedicated himself in Parliament to trying to solve this housing problem. So Menzies was very much about how we get Australians to own their own home. Mm. Then moving to the point of the freedom of speech, sorry, the freedom of religion and expressing your religion. After what we've seen in Bondi, you know, we need to be able to express all of our religions, no matter what they are, in a safe, positive, constructive way, and feel safe to be able to do so. And those things actually sit in our heritage. It doesn't sit by looking at a Donald Trump nationalist agenda over in the United States. It's actually being truthful to the widespread of parties that brought us together in the first place.
You're speaking there of Robert Menzies. I've heard you use the phrase Menzies 2.0. I'm reminded of a searing line from Mark Carney's speech in Davos last month in a very different context, but I wonder whether here it applies. He says, nostalgia is not a strategy. Is there a sense that, you know,
I don't agree that what I'm talking about is nostalgia. I'm actually talking about values. And when I say Menzies 2.0, you made the point about the disparate parties on all sides that may need to be straddled. That is what Robert Menzies did. That's not nostalgia. That's also saying that we are looking at a fairly similar political environment that you can see what happened in, you know, where the Australian Parliament was in 1944. And again, you can see opposition parties quite fragmented at this point in time. So that's not a nostalgic comment. It's more of an observance of history repeating.
Fiona Scott, we've got about a minute left. I wonder why you think Angus Taylor is going to do a better job than Susan Lee, briefly.
Look, I think I don't want to compare Angus to Susan. I don't think that's fair to either of them. I do believe Angus has the intellect. I think he has the right vision for Australia and the Liberal Party. And I'm really excited to see what Angus will achieve and how Angus will lead the coalition forward and provide a very good opposition to what is a terrible Labor government.
Fiona Scott, on a big day in the Liberal Party, thank you so much for joining us on Saturday. Actually, this conversation will go on. I hope you'll come back on the programme when we can keep this conversation going. Thanks so much for joining us on ABC Radio
Anytime.
National. Thanks
thank
a lot.
You for having me.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.